Good morning, honorable members, both from the Culture Committee and Human Settlement and Water and Sanitation. Let me take this opportunity to welcome all of you in this meeting and indicate that we are meeting as a committee of parliament still our country is still facing with these challenges. The coronavirus is ravaging our countries, and we want to take this opportunity to forward our condolences to those that have been affected, those that have passed on, and even those that have they've tested positive. We wish them well and speedy recovery, and to the families that they've lost the last ones, we forward our condolences to the entire South Africa, and as we bow our heads in a moment of silence, we should remember those that are suffering with this disease and those that have passed on. I'm going to invite honorable members that we observe a moment of silence or meditation or prayer as we remember our country which is faced with these challenges and the families. Can we bow our heads and on silence for meditation and prayer? Thank you very much, and amen. can we note the apology?
Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members. I have two apologies, one from the minister and the second one from the deputy minister, Mr. David Mahlobo. They are going to attend a cabinet meeting today, so they are not going to be able to join our meeting. Thank you, Chair.
Who's here from the department?
Mr. Changana is the acting DG from the department. He's going to be meeting us.
Can someone who's eating mute the mic, please?
Can you please mute our mics?
Okay, thank you. Let's proceed, Koliswa.
Hello, Chairperson.
Yes. You were still noting the apology.
Yes, I said, Chairperson, it's the minister and the deputy minister who had tendered apology for today's meeting.
Okay.
Yes.
You don't have apologies from honorable...
No, I don't have it from members.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much. Honorable members, we this is a follow-up meeting. We had a meeting both from... joined by both the Department of Culture, Human Settlement, and SALGA. Maybe I must check whether do we have SALGA in the meeting, Felicia?
Yes, Chairperson.
Okay, and then COCTA. Who's representing COCTA?
I I'm not aware of Cocta Chairperson for now.
Okay. we have engaged with both the department and the SALGA, and the presentation that we have received at that time was not speaking with one voice, and we then requested them to go back and look at the engage one another, and they must come back to us with one presentation, I hope the presentation that we are going to get is representing everybody, because that's what we have agreed on. And if there has been there have not been an engagement, please, we need to be told as we start, and we must understand whether this presentation represents both the department and SALGA. I'm going to invite probably DGs leading the delegation, and from SALGA, do we have a political head? Kholiso from SALGA? Yes.
Chairperson, it's Khumotso Letsatsi from SALGA. I'm just going to check very quickly with Councillor Ngubane in terms of this meeting.
Okay. So I'm now going to invite DG just to take us through the presentation. Let me welcome you back, DG Changane.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I am accompanied by my colleagues from the department, the DDG responsible for regulations is here with me, and his team, Cesani and Kumulani, they are here to support him as well. Chairperson, we are coming to you for the second time, and we want to be very straight to the point and to be precise and respond to the questions that were raised by the members, the honorable members of the portfolio committee. I needed to state upfront, Chairperson, that we met with SALGA and the officials from SALGA, and we agreed in certain areas on what needs to be done. There were areas where SALGA and ourselves didn't agree, and we will highlight those areas. But we then took a decision on what needs to be done to deal with those areas of disagreement. Before I hand over to my colleagues, I'm going to ask Kholiso in the meantime to fly the presentation, to share the presentation. Whilst we are waiting for Kholiso to share the presentation, if it's not with Kholiso, we can ask my colleagues, Cesar, need to share the presentation. But before we get to the presentation, Chairperson, I just want to state some few facts which also informed our decision making in this process. The first one is that when the economy is not doing well, pricing of any commodity becomes a challenge. It becomes a problem because the economy is not doing well. communities are struggling to make ends meet. Institutions are not viable. So any pricing arrangement, any tariff setting arrangement has a potential to affect communities and to affect institutions. That's the first part. And water is not an exception here. And that is why we are having this discussion. It is a necessary discussion. It is warranted, and it needs us to be level-headed and make decisions in the best interest of the communities and also in the best interest of the institutions that we are managing. Chairperson, the second factor is that I want to put on the table is that the raw water tariff, which triggers almost everything, because you have a three-tier tariff setting system in this country. You have a raw water tariff, you have a bulk water tariff, and then you have a retail tariff. And the raw water tariff, which is administered by the department, has already been affected, and it has been affected on the 1st of April. We are already billing the water boards on the basis of that the raw water tariff, which was approved and set by the department. And it is that raw water tariff that tends to create, which at this point we have admitted, that the department, to create an impression that the department is a referee and a player, because we do set the raw water tariff, which gets passed on to the water boards, and the water boards are already paying the prevailing raw water tariff. The bulk water tariff, which is set by the water boards, has already been effected on the 1st of July. And that is the prevailing tariff, which is effective. And then water boards' finances and their budgets are informed by that particular tariff. The investors who have put money into this sector, for instance, the Lesotho Highlands Water Project, which is administered by TCTA, is informed by that particular tariff, the raw water tariff, and it is informed by what the water boards are paying. And secondly, Chair, thirdly, the municipalities have already approved their budget, and the budgets, Chairperson, were effected, the municipal budgets were effected on the 1st of July this year, which means that all the investments and all the financial decision making in municipalities are informed by that particular tariff or by that particular rate that has already been approved by many councils. And the question then that we ask ourselves together with SALGA is, what do we do? What do we do going forward? Because we cannot reverse those decisions. We cannot reverse the municipalities, the 200 plus municipalities or 150 plus municipalities that are water service authorities. We can't reverse the decisions that they have taken. We can't reverse the water board's decision that they have already taken, because it will have huge implications. In the presentation that we are presenting to you, we are not going to spend time on the background, because you already know the background. We will present the scenarios that we discussed with SALGA. We present those scenarios, and we will then make a proposal that perhaps going forward, because in the scenarios that were put forward, I think some of them have been overtaken by events. We will put forward on what needs to be done going forward to make sure that we cushion communities. It needs to be borne in mind that the three players in this space, the municipalities, the water boards, and the department, the three players are not all getting, municipalities get subsidized. For instance, the last time I presented to you, I gave you an example of the city of Cape Town, which receives more than 2 billion rands of equitable share, which subsidizes free basic services, and it subsidizes free basic water. But they also get 1.5 billion rands, plus minus 1.5 billion rands of the USDG, which subsidizes the capital projects of the city of Cape Town. I'm just using the city of Cape Town as an example. We can look at Etegwin, we can look at Johannesburg, we can look at secondary cities, Msunduzi and others that are receiving MIG and equitable share. The only challenge that we have is that the water boards do not get any subsidies. They don't get subsidized. And the Act is very clear, both the MFMA and the Water Services Act, both pieces of legislation are very clear that the tariff setting should be cost reflective. But at the same time, the water boards, the department, and the municipalities cannot ignore the fact that we are experiencing an economic meltdown. We are experiencing the COVID-19 impact. COVID-19 has impacted severely on the economy. It cannot be business as usual. So then said, it may be difficult to fix things retrospectively. It may be a little bit difficult for us to fix things retrospectively, decisions that have already been made. It may have huge impact on investments. It may have huge impact on projects that are already running. It may have huge impact on some of the decisions that municipalities, water boards have already made. But the question is, what do we do going forward? And this is the part that I wanted us to focus on immediately after Cezanne has presented. We would want to come back to this part and discuss it, because we agreed with SALGA. SALGA is of the view, and I think I need to state it upfront, SALGA is of the view that the tariff that has been issued by the water boards, all those tariffs, including the rainwater tariff, by the way, that they have submitted, that they have approved. Remember, SALGA has only approved the water boards tariff. The tariff is above inflation. All of those tariffs are way above inflation. Yes, SALGA understands that the input costs are also way above inflation. The input costs which influence the tariff is way above inflation. The cost of energy is way above inflation. The cost of labor is way above inflation. The cost of treating water is way above inflation. But we need to find a way as a country, as a sector, and as a department to cushion institutions, to cushion communities. If municipalities are already defaulting in servicing the water board debt, the debt that is owed to water boards, it means, therefore, that if we increase the tariff, chances are some of the municipalities are going to default further. If you take Machabeng, which owes more than 2.5 billion rands to Citibank Water, if you increase the tariff, the proposed tariff by Citibank, which is at 11%, it doesn't mean that Machabeng is going to be in a position to pay, because they are already struggling to service the old debt. So we have to make a decision in the best interest of communities, in the best interest of institutions that we are managing, so that we don't solve the problem by creating another problem. And lastly, Chair, before I hand over to Cezanne, I want to stress upfront that it's always important as well to look at both the percentage increase and also rand and cents increase. Because sometimes percentages don't give you a better picture of what you are dealing with. Because if you look at the rand and cents, you would notice that it's not necessarily the tariff that is supported by SALGA that is the lowest. You know, be that it's in May, even if we were to ask all the water boards to drop the tariff to 6.6, which is the same tariff that Rand Water has approved, that the minister has approved for Rand Water, it will still be high. But it would mean, therefore, that the entities would not be viable. And it doesn't necessarily mean that the debt would be serviced either. So this is a serious challenge. I think the timing for debating this matter is good. that is perfect. And we have to take a decision. We are also of the view that if there are decisions that have to be taken, those decisions can be effected during the budget adjustment, the municipal budget adjustment in January next year. If there is there's consensus across the board that changes have to be made in the tariff setting space, whether it's the retail tariff that is implemented by municipality, or it's the bulk tariff which is implemented by water boards, or it's the raw water tariff which is implemented by the department. We're proposing that those changes can either be made during the budget adjustment period. The municipal budget adjustment is in January. The national and provincial budget adjustment is in October. So if we target the municipal budget adjustment period to effect any changes that we want to implement, it will give us enough time. That's proposal number one. Proposal number two is that we can target the next municipal financial year, or rather the next national and provincial financial year and the next municipal financial year, because the raw water tariff is only implemented in April, the 1st of April. So it may not be practically possible to change the raw water tariff in January, when you are left with 3 months before the end of the financial year. So we may want to target the municipal financial year or the new national and provincial financial year to effect the changes that we want to effect. We can ask the expertise, the experts in SALGA, in the department, at National Treasury, to assist us to investigate and come back to us with a question: what would be the most affordable tariff to the entities, affordable to the municipalities, and affordable to the communities? That study is a study that needs to be done, which will then influence the next process of setting tariff. But changing the tariffs that have already been approved, the tariffs that have already been effected, and that have already influenced the decision of investors, may have huge impact. It may have huge consequences. So what we are proposing together with SALGA is that we need to fix things going forward. You can't fix the budget retrospectively, but you can fix it going forward. That's what we are proposing. And I'm now going to ask Cesar, I need to take us through the presentation. I just summarized everything, but Susan can go straight to the scenario that we have put forward, and then to the questions that were asked by the members of the portfolio committee, so that we can give you enough time to engage on this matter and also to guide us on how best to manage this process. There's one point that I just want to bring to your attention, Chairperson, and that point is extremely important, and that is, it may help us very well to take a look at the legislation that governs this process. Because you would notice that the Water Services Act and also the Municipal Finance Management Act, and they're not necessarily helping us that much in terms of managing this process. For instance, it may help us going forward as we review the legislation, because we want to amend the two pieces of legislation, National Water Act and the Water Services Act. It may help us to amend those pieces of legislation so that that process of consultation and that process of deadlock breaking mechanism is instituted, because currently it's not properly instituted in the pieces of legislation. We do it, we try to mitigate between the parties, but it's not clearly articulated in the legislation. But at the same time, the role of Parliament, I think, needs to be articulated clearly there. I know that Parliament's job is to provide oversight, but we would want Parliament to participate in this process earlier, because by the time it comes to you, it's like almost all the processes are concluded. But if in the amendment of the legislation, we allow Parliament to participate in the process earlier and not later in the day. It may help us a great deal. And National Treasury may have to consider going forward in the IGR framework, fiscal framework, they may have to consider subsidizing the water boards. Because if we really want the water boards to be financially viable, we can't say they must be cost reflective in setting the tariff. Because if they are cost reflective in setting the tariff, it would mean, therefore, that they must impose a tariff that reflects the cost of doing business. And all of those cost factors are not determined by the water boards. The labor cost is determined by the Amanzi Bargaining Council. The energy costs are determined by NERSA and ESCOM and the bulk distributors and regulator. And the cost of chemicals is determined by the market, and most of those chemicals they import it. And we may also use an opportunity to influence that space. So, Chairperson, most of the costs that the water boards are absorbing are not costs that they have control of. And therefore, going forward, we may want to review the intergovernmental fiscal system to make sure that the water boards are subsidized, just like municipalities are subsidized. Municipalities are in a position, in some cases, to cushion the communities because they do get the equitable share, and they do get MIG, and they get the USDG. So I would only ask my colleagues, since I need to go straight to the responses to the questions that were asked before, because I have covered almost 60% of what Suzanne was going to present. Suzanne, over to you.
Thank you, DG. Good morning, Chairperson and the members. I'm going to try and share the presentation. Okay. Is it visible to the members? I'm going to start.
Yes.
Thank you so much. I'm going to go straight to slide 25, where we have taken the three scenarios as previously recommended, whether we are keeping the same tariff or whether we are reducing and so forth. So we have taken five elements to be considered in this decision, one being that the constitutional right, it cannot be denied, we agree with it, but there is also a legislative process that had to be followed. And DG has already covered that the water board tariffs were unfortunately tabled, concluding the process just before COVID-19 hit us, and now it is the consideration that we have on the table. And the municipalities and the water boards, both their tariffs are implemented as of the 1st of July, as opposed to the raw water tariffs that are done in or that are implemented on the 1st of April each year. The third financial factor that we considered was the financial, where we understand that a revenue recovery is going to be difficult due to COVID-19. But that also, if you would look at one of our slides, we do note that the demand for water will increase as well, meaning that the institutions that are providing the water will have to put in more cost in ensuring that the increased volumes are catered for. The operational factors that had to be covered are included in the scenarios that I'm going to share now, as well as the implications. Now, scenario one was considering whether we are implementing the current tariff as it has been approved for water boards, and we are realizing that if we do that, the negative impact that we are going to have is the non-payment or an increase on debt. The issue of sustaining infrastructure may also be impacted, because if the debt increase, it means no actual money comes through, and then the maintenance of the systems will be affected. But we need to also make sure as far as possible that the infrastructure does not collapse. In terms of legal, what has happened is that there has been some relaxation of the credit control measures. You would note that since COVID started, none of the municipalities have been restricted in terms of their water consumption, though we have noted the increase above normal demand on the consumption. So that will continue as is. So the overall implication is that there will be an escalation of debt, and we cannot enforce the credit control measures as yet, but it would mean that after the COVID, we would have to find stringent ways of making good the debt that has been incurred now. So one of the key things that we need assistance on is to get the communities or our users to not increase the consumption that much, you know, to try and manage it. And we need to also find a way of introducing some incentives for good water management. Scenario two is that if there are no increases across the value chain, it will definitely be a revenue loss. Because inflation has increased and all other input costs that are being considered have increased, and we can't do anything about it. That would mean all institutions, including municipalities, they would have to be absorbing those costs, of which it's something that is unsustainable. So I'm going to get to the next slide. Which also just confirms the revenue losses. So what we are suggesting here is that we would need to be stringent in quantifying the actual revenue loss that we need. Initially, our proposal was to approach the Solidarity Fund for Relief and National Treasury for assistance. We have since realized that there is no money that can be made available to assist water boards. So those options are not available. So if we keep the tariffs now, the negative impact is that the subsequent tariffs are going to increase. I mean, if we keep this tariff unchanged, the subsequent tariffs are going to increase beyond affordability, because the institutions will have to consider their sustainability again. Scenario three is if we revise the tariff down, not necessarily canceling it, but we are reducing it. Revenue loss is still there. The impact of operations is still there. Credit control, there is nothing we can do about that. That was a done deal, because we cannot push people who don't have money now to pay. So that was put aside. So what it actually means is that the revenue loss might be lesser compared to no increases at all. So in summary, we are saying that the sector has got revenue implications. All scenarios are showing revenue implications that require some level of funding support during the COVID-19 if we are to manage the debt from increasing. Therefore, it might be appropriate to consider scenario one of allowing the tariffs to go ahead, and then later see how we manage the debt. Now, the points where we have actually agreed on with SALGA, and we had no questions there, was that if you members would remember, in the last meeting, SALGA proposed the four quadrants of where we consider how to move forward in fixing this situation so that we don't find ourselves at loggerheads again. Where quadrant one was considering medium to short term, but looking at all the four issues that needed to be considered. We are saying in terms of policy and legislation, we quickly need to finalize our legislative review, as Acting DG has said. We need to finalize our norms and standards, as well as the pricing strategy, so that they can quickly give us direction on how to move on. And we need to standardize and come to agreement in terms of how we interpret Section 42.5, so that all the institutions that are commenting in terms of providing the tariff determination providing comments in the tariff determination understand it, and then we make sure that we don't come back with differing views. So that would be covered within the first 2 years. And then on the medium to long term, we are looking at improving the institutional reforms where the issue of the economic regulator should be kind of finalized. Acting DG has spoken of having a quasi-regulator put in place in the interim, but we are hoping that by the time we get to 5 years, we would be having relevant institutions managing the water sector as they need to do so, and all the institution will be working on cost reflective tariffs and making sure that those costs are actually effective and they do meet the needs of the people without putting an added burden of affordability over them. And then the third quadrant where we are talking, it was also looking at medium term in terms of the financial situation. We need to go back and review all the subsidy and funding instruments. We do note that even without COVID-19, we are still sitting with water boards that are struggling with survival, and a different funding mechanism is required for them if we are to move away from a complete tariff-based funding approach, so that we can have them on a sustainable level. We need to have a different approach towards the debt that we are sitting with, because we have been in a situation where debt has been escalating without COVID. Now COVID has revealed more problems than we actually anticipated. We need to find a way where we can have our costing and our pricing mechanisms actually benchmarked and strengthen the revenue collection processes. But that would be in the long term. I'm going to skip the couple of slides there and go straight to slide 42, where we were looking at, again, medium short to medium term, looking at the corporate governance. Here we are saying we need to look at the contracting arrangements that we have in place between municipalities, water boards, and the departments in terms of their licenses, or whether we are introducing raw water contracts. Most of the challenges that we are sitting with come from the poor contracting arrangements, and all that process needs to be revised as soon as possible, and we make sure that the relationships are managed in a way that they will not lead to the debt situation where we have now. We honestly are of the opinion that the non-payment is a symptom of bigger problems that are underlying, and that can only be reviewed by making sure that all contracts are in place at the required time and there is no transfer of water or money without a good solid contract being in place. We need to strengthen and improve the corporate governance of all the institutions, starting with the department. Acting DG spoke about our position being a referee and a player as well. So we need to separate those functions and make sure that where the department is a player and set its own tariffs, those are also governed under good principles. So members, that is what we had agreed on with SALGA, and these processes have already started. We started discussing within the department on how we take these matters forward, and we have also agreed with SALGA that we are going to have to talk more than what we did in the past. And from this slide onwards, these are the responses to the questions that we have had from the members of the Joint Committee in the previous meeting. I am not sure if I should be taking time going through them, or members can read them themselves, so that we can now give time to all other questions that are coming up. I need direction, Zay. Thank you so much.
Continue.
Okay. We were asked why ordinary citizens are not part of the stakeholder consultations by water boards. This is because the water boards are expected to consult their clients, and their clients in this case are municipalities and big industries, and that is what they normally do. And according to Section 42, we are looking at how they consult municipalities only, not necessarily the rest of the industrial sector. It was said that there was inconsistency of tariffs for different water boards. What the legislation is providing for is the approach of tariff determination. Now, the water board charges are affected by the geography of where the water boards are and the areas they are serving, the quality of water that is in those areas, the availability of water, of raw water. All those are key factors that comes into their costing. So there is no way that all water boards can have a single tariff. They will differ. But the basis of consideration, or the input costs, they would probably be the same with differing impact. And yes, where there is a lower chemical cost, it means that the raw water is not as bad that the water board in that place can actually afford to give a lower cost there. But where the water is quite bad, like where rainwater is operating, they are using big quantities of water and the water quality is really bad, as we have seen with the Vaal interventions, then the cost of treating that water will also be high. Is there a single method of determining the tariff, and why are the outcomes different? As we have mentioned, the factors that are considered, that is exactly what leads to the different tariffs. Therefore, we cannot have one single tariff across the board. How does the department coordinate the tariff setting? We are using the norms and standards for tariff setting as our base tool, as well as Section 42 of the MFMA. After water boards have determined their tariff, they hand them over to the department to review and finalize the process. But it needs to be noted that in terms of Section 42, the water boards have to consult SALGA and National Treasury before submitting to the department, who makes the final analysis and request the minister to table in Parliament. Water boards should disclose their methods of determining the tariffs. These are done. All water board tariffs are in terms of the factors that are considered in determining as per the framework, and we ensure that the tariffs are kind of fair for that particular environment. And because of the dynamics that are considered in the department, water board proposals are individually given its operating environment in terms of both institutional viability and water resource sustainability. That would be the reasons for not having the consistent tariff. I think this slide repeats the same questions. Tariffs being above inflation, I think DG has covered this one. All the five major costs that we have shown in the above slides have indicated that all the input costs were above inflation. Therefore, it would be hard for water boards to actually manage the increases to be within inflation while their input costs were above inflation. So it's a causal effect that led to going above inflation. Okay, I'm going to pass that one. Why is drought tariff inconsistently applied? Why DWS does not provide a uniform methodology? We are recognizing that drought is real and it is hitting the country very hard. For now, municipalities have implemented they do have a drought tariff that they were implementing in terms of their rising block, but we did not have anything like that for water boards. Therefore, water boards business is limited to being volume based, and they don't have any other way of managing the usage in drought while they have to manage the operating costs. So we have left it to the water boards for now to determine how they can manage the drought. So with the current tariff reviews, we have advised the water boards to work within the demand that they are providing. So the drought tariff is the only available tool for water boards for revenue loss due to drought compared to the municipalities who may have some kind of a relief from the state. So that is one of the challenges we are sitting with. Now, water charges are determined annually. Why DWS does not adopt a multi-year tariffing process? This is part of the revision of the norms and standards and the pricing strategy. We have embedded the multi-year tariffing in there. As soon as those two documents are approved, we are good to go. But with the current documents as they stand, the tariffs have to be approved year on year. Schools and clinics in Moses Kotane do not have water to wash their hands, and this will result in the spread of COVID-19. Magalis Water is the bulk provider in that particular area, and the supply of water services to clinics and schools is therefore the responsibility of municipality, as we have noticed, and they must ensure that the residents do have the access to basic water as they need, but they do have the support that they require from Magalis Water should they want to increase the demand. I don't think Magalis has had any restrictions there, but we need to ensure that the municipalities do provide the service that they need to provide. Inefficient debt management continues to incapacitate the water sector, thus having a bearing on inability of municipalities to service their water board debt. Now, on this one, yes, credit controls are a bit of a situation that we are sitting with. Municipalities are struggling to implement those, therefore they are experiencing a rising debt. By implication, they are not paying the water debt. As we have noticed, bullet two, where we are showing the debt levels as we have had them in April 2020, they have since escalated from this point. So we need to find a way of strengthening debt collection mechanisms, and we would really appreciate some political interventions to ensure that these are done. Because in all truth and fairness, for institutions to be sustainable, they need to be cost reflective, and therefore the tariffs need to reflect the cost of operations. It can't be any lower than that. Could DWS provide examples of how pricing strategy was used during the disaster? Now, it needs to be noted that the pricing strategy is a policy to determine the tariffs. The charges are determined and approved once a year. Now, the disaster was declared after the charges were approved, thus we are unable to change them now. But we need to look at means of subsidizing these tariffs. Now, it needs to be noted that with the revision draft of the pricing strategy, we were proposing different tariffing rates for different classes of municipalities. So as soon as that is implemented, that might provide the needed relief for municipalities moving forward. But for now, as it stands, The pricing strategy was implemented to the fullest with the rebates on ROA that were applicable to domestic industry. Now, the department did not include charges for forestry. According to the pricing strategy, forestry is exempted from paying water research levies. They are billed for water resource management charges only. I think this was related to the apportionment of the charges there. What are the challenges related to the implementation of waste water charge? Now, the waste discharge charge system has not been finalized as yet. It's a process that is kind of difficult to conclude, but as soon as our colleagues in regulation finalize the waste discharge charge system, it will be easy for us to then bring that on board within the pricing strategy and be able to implement the polluter pay principle. Have DWS, through depreciation, built a reserve on bulk water provision? Unfortunately, not. All the money that has been collected has been used in each financial year, and it needs to be noted that though the pricing strategy has the depreciation component, there are cappings that are applicable to the majority of the sectors who are paying this fund. So there are no reserves built. DWS is increasing their tariffs. Why did they not include Parliament and stakeholders in the consultation process? Now, when we look at the raw water charges, we have three processes. It's the provincial consultation, sector specific, and the national consultations that we follow. Now, the Parliament role had not been included as yet, because in terms of Section 42, there are no specific requirements legislatively for us to consult Parliament. But as Acting DG has highlighted, we are open to considering how we can slot Parliament in the process, but we need to find a way within the framework that is currently governing the consultation processes to be changed and allow for that provision. What measures are the departments taking to prevent the contamination of water resource in the Eastern Cape and Mpumalanga? In some municipalities, the water is not healthy for human consumption. What is the department doing about it? So on this one, there are enforcement measures that are being undertaken by the department with the assistance of Nkomati Usutu catchment management areas. All the investigations that are happening, they are all taken through to court processes. Now, the challenge is that the enforcement processes are kind of lengthy and taking too long. So the pricing strategy, nor the National Water Act, does not have the immediate penalties that can be imposed. Neither does the department have the mechanism of collecting that revenue and applying for penalties as it is required.
We're stuck with Nigeria, man. I took care of malaria patients, treated them with hydroxychloroquine. Actually, used this medication. I'm here because
the person that was directed to me.
60 patients
about their operating environment. So these are the responses that they provided, that there is a need to put water delivery at the center of the developmental agenda. There is a need to accurately predict the future demand, of which currently is a challenge. The demand is always understated, and it gives complications when billing has to happen. We need to take consideration of the rural development of households versus the provision of free basic water. Appropriate economic development emanating from the water service delivery needs to be considered, thus the need for rural development of water provisions. They also are in the process of investing in sustainable water provisions and ensuring that the entire water delivery, the water delivery on the entire value chain is sustained. They need to continue in investing within the research and development within water sector. That also is pricey. Investing in water resource development for future demands is of paramount importance. The industrialization of climate change has to be taken into consideration. Creating awareness and culture of payments for services needs to be improved. Employees and executive remuneration costs exceed 12 to 13% was the issue to Umgeni, and they have stated that the increase in salary is estimated at 7%, which is what was basically inflation plus one. The total increase taken into account additional headcount to cater for new areas of operations and new plants to be commissioned. And the salary increases of executives are determined by DWS and are not part of the 13% that was stated. And we needed to also highlight that within the 2019-20, there has been a 0% increase for the executives. Now, in terms of energy costs of 14% higher than NERSA approved. At the time of the tariff setting, ESCOM indicated their intentions of increasing the tariff by 16%. And then the water board estimated them to be coming down to 14%. So any downward adjustment will be factored in the following tariff cycle, as we had initially proposed that if we allow these ones to go on now, in the next tariff review, we will adjust with the savings that would have been realized with the process. There was an issue about the tender that was under appeal in Umgeni. They have provided their responses. I'm sure members can go through that one. It will be hard for me to respond to. And in terms of Bloom Water, they have also provided their own response that their tariffs cover the operations and maintenance, refurbishments, and the loan repayments, as well as the CAPEX funding. All their labor costs are in anticipation of the increase in their bargaining council. The raw water costs are a major cost driver, and those are set by the department. And the volumes of water that are restricted due to the water restrictions as set by the department, and that has got an impact on the revenue, but not necessarily on the cost drivers. Bloom Water procures electricity from different sources. They have Eskom, they have also Megaflex and Ruraflex, and all those have got different tariffing. Therefore, their input costs cannot be what is said to be an Eskom cost only. When we look at Amatola, they were anticipating the NERSA increase of 8.2%, and there was an under recovery in terms of electricity on bulk water tariffs. So the bargaining council, they are using the same bargaining council as well to negotiate for their salaries. And the raw water tariffs on their environment is increased by 0 to 60%, which was above inflation as well. And Amatola Water is currently owed 230 million from Amatola District, which is the debt that continues to escalate. And Amatola does not have reserves for capital replacement. So they would be dependent on grants should they be made available. Now, moving forward, the recommendations from this presentations was that the PC to note the work that has been done in the sector in response to the COVID-19, the provision for the increase in demand. Note the tariff consultation process and approval process that was followed, being compliant to the legislative review, and the three scenarios that we have presented, whether we are keeping the increases, whether we are nullifying them to a zero, or we partially reduce. And we hope also that they would support the quantification of the financial implications for these scenarios. We are hoping that there would be an endorsement of the establishment of the water regulator, and so far I sense there is no dispute there. We request endorsement of the development of the uniform costing and pricing model or methodology across the value chain. That will come through with the revised pricing strategy and norms and standards. We are hoping that members would take note of that and assist us accordingly. Support the development of the multi-year tariffing regime as well. Support the proposed short to medium term interventions that we have agreed on between DWS and SALGA. And to hold us accountable for all the recommendations that we are putting forward and how far we are implementing them. That's the end of the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. DG and the team. SALGA.
Thank you very much, Chair. It's Khumutso Letsatsi, the Chief Officer of Municipal Finance in SALGA. Councillor Mngubane is actually engaged in another meeting, so he's not in the meeting as it was expected. But maybe just to say that we've actually really moved a lot since the last engagement, and we've agreed on a whole number of issues. And as the department had indicated, I think one of the biggest issues that we struggled on was based on the submission that we made during the consultative process and basically the process that has to unfold as a result of that. And given the misalignment in terms of what transpired from a budgeting point of view, as well as the timing of this particular engagement, but our view as SALGA, that Councillor Mngubane asked me to just re-emphasize, is that we concerned about what we're seeing in local government in terms of the increase in the number of financially distressed municipalities, and we equally concerned in terms of the impact that COVID had on households. And therefore, it becomes important for all of us in the value chain that are responsible for tariff setting to make sure that our assumptions are actually closer to reality, that as we pass the tariffs, the affordability not only of municipalities or even the sustainability of water boards, but the capacity of households to actually absorb these increases that will be coming through throughout government. So that was our original submission, but I guess the engagement going forward would then be the process that basically has to unfold in making sure that affordability becomes top priority for everybody else involved in this particular process. So that's our submission, Chair. But we agree pretty much with all of the things that Suzanne has basically presented. But we also think there's definitely room for improvement from a planning point of view in terms of tariff setting.
Thank you very much, SALGA. The Secretary of Committee of COCTA, the Chair is still struggling to come in. Please attend to that.
I see her. She's in the meeting.
Okay. All right. Chair, you are welcome. You're welcome in the meeting. Honorable members, that was the presentation. I got the list of members who are in the meeting. I'll just call your name if you don't think you don't want to speak or you're covered, you can say I'm covered. I'm going to invite Honorable Mashego. Honorable Mashego. Honorable Fasson.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Yes, well, you know, I don't know why we've wasted all these times if all this stuff has already been implemented and now we've got to discuss the way forward. But I'm not going to even ask questions on this now. It's irrelevant, Chairperson. We'll deal with this later on when we need to sit down again concerning the way forward with the department itself from water and sanitation on tariffs. I understand about the equitable share or, you know, the assistance they get. But, you know, we sit with COVID. There's a lot of people now that lost their work that's got to, you know, they also cannot afford it. But I'm going to leave it there, Chairperson, so I'm not going to ask any questions at this stage.
Yes, thank you, Honorable Fasson. Honorable Mkhalipi.
Thanks, Chairperson. I just wanted also to get an understanding. What is our role now as the joint committees of COCTA and DWS? Because it seems as if what is being presented here, it's already implemented. So what is our role as members? What are we supposed to do now? Just a guidance from you, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Mkhalipi. All of us, when we start the discussion, we are not aware that already it has been implemented. But I think there is still a need for us to give a way forward to make sure that in the next financial year the process does not follow the way it was, and we should be engaged as members of parliament before the approval can be made. I think it's one of the things that we should actually finalize in this meeting. We should be taken on board. We cannot be used as a rubber stamp as members of parliament. So, can I get Honorable Mashego? Honorable Kusai? Honorable Sekhwai. Honorable Powell.
Sorry, Chairperson. Honorable Powell only deals with housing issues, so she won't ask questions. Thank you, Chair.
No questions.
Okay, thank you very much. Honorable Geza.
Oh, thank you very much, Chair. I also didn't know what we are going to say in terms of that, but way forward quickly. Maybe the department needs to amend both the PMFA and the MFMA to make it compulsory for spheres of government to directly provide services in in areas that are inherent functions of the state. Number two, way forward, maybe the department needs to look at localization of industries in municipalities where they produce their own chemicals. Because I didn't understand, Chair, in terms of why importing chemicals to water boards. And number three, and lastly, maybe you need to look at the fact that water boards being owned by municipalities, you look at the fact that the municipalities as well are owed by government departments and businesses. So that money could be used to pay water boards. And lastly, Chair, the question of there's a forensic report on the Amatola Water CEO of 230 million. Maybe that money, where is alleged to have presided over an organization that manipulated a supply chain management processes and awarded tenders at inflated prices. Maybe you look at that 230 million and recoup that money to pay water boards. Anything else I do not have, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Geza. Honorable Tseki.
Sir President, is am I audible?
Okay, you are. Honorable Mashiku.
No, I was just saying, you can give take. I was just wondering why is am I not being audible, Chair? But if you give take, it's fine, I'll come later.
Okay. Honorable Tseki.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I don't have much to say, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Kurneval. Honorable Kurneval.
Can you please unmute your mic, Honorable Kurneval?
I've just done so, ma'am. Sorry, I'm audible. Can you hear me?
Yes, 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 sir.
Ma'am, just one quick question. Filthy water or water which is contained drenched with sewage and that sort of stuff is quite expensive water, as they've alluded in the presentation as well. When last did we do a green drop, blue drop status, and when is the next time we will do it? If I can get an answer on that. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kunuval, Honorable Mashiku.
Thanks, Chair. Good morning to everybody. Chair, I move from a premise that the authors of the Constitution of South Africa, when they wrote it this day, the very democratic one, it was in reaction to a view that the government of that time was doing things without consulting anyone. Therefore, we wrote a constitution that was democratic and which was representative, that was deriving its existence from mandate taking and listening to people. Now, I find it very difficult for me to accept today that it has happened like that. Ours is to ask questions and we must be answered, because we should make statements where we think we are not comfortable with the way things are done. Anyone who is given responsibility to lead any structure in South Africa shall know that he is representing other people. And for him or her to come to a view, those people must have had a say along the line as mandate giving. We are saying now that we want to move forward with us not being taken for granted as parliamentarians. When the presentation by both Mr. Shangane and the department says that up until today, in the statute book, what they are using, Parliament is not a body that must be consulted. Therefore, unless you change that norm, we shall not be consulted because it is not allowed in the book. Now, if we are not allowed to be consulted or we are not supposed to be consulted, why are we made a body that must vote for the budget? Why? Because then it means the budget, I mean, things must just be done and we are told an oversight whether it is done correctly or not. And I don't even understand how do you judge whether somebody is doing wrong or right when you have not made an input on the mechanics of how to do that which you are talking about to be done? I find it a little bit unbecoming that as members of parliament we can be told that we were not supposed to be consulted. Being consulted is a favor. Remember, South Africa has got three spheres of government. These three spheres of government are independent from one another. They are not, the other one is not a subordinate of the other. Mm-hmm. So therefore, mm-hmm. when local government says we are not consulted, provincial says it is not in the favor seeking process. It is embedded that we must be consulted and we must have a say in what is going to happen. The process that the department has put forward in terms of moving forward, to me, is not in question. Whether there shall be a long-term, short-term, and medium-term, medium-term, and long-term in the process moving forward, it's okay. But today, Jay, the bigger debate is whether are we academic in the passing of budget, of tariffs, or are we scientific in passing them? Because if you do not do so, you are going to sit with you sitting making decision to escalate the debt of municipalities because you are overpricing the water tariffs. The municipalities shall not afford, the ratepayers shall not afford. I will have one to add the situation, Chair, where we say, those of you who have been councillors before, you shall know, it is allowed for the municipality to review its budget in January of the year. And I'm sure Changali spoke about that. And that if we believe that, yes, everything else that informed the tariffs, it is on the basis of it being above inflation rate, therefore you can't give anything below. It is on the basis of the time that we were in luxury to do so. We are now in COVID-19. COVID-19 has changed quite a lot of things. We cannot be of exception that we ourselves want to stick to the old rules, even when COVID dictates something different. I still want to hear, comrade, why are we not wanting to be members of parliament that can give benefits to our people on the ground, for them to pay less, for them not to pay more, for municipalities not to pay more? Why don't we want to do that? Mm-hmm. Long term, short term, and medium term, to me, it's fine. Let's talk to these cadres that we're talking about today. We met prior June, of end of June, because we knew we want that when municipalities pass their budget in June, they must have taken cognizance of what we are talking about. Deliberately, the matter has been withheld somewhere else up until July. And now we are told of the fact that the horse has been bolted. Mm-hmm. We have refused that matter of the horse having been bolted then, and said we want something to change. That department must go and meet with Salga, we must meet with Cocta, and for them to bring us a horse that has not bolted, that we needed, that these tariffs must be reviewed. And we are not getting a sense that besides the fact that people have been taken on board, our view was that for this year's tariffs, we do not believe with COVID in it, it must be business as usual. There is no commitment that says there is something to look about. We are being told of a long-term future. It shouldn't be like that. We are part of a structure that must also be taken serious. And the seriousness of what we are saying, this particular tariffs are a bit hard to be met by our people on the ground, municipalities. And I think Mr. Ngubane yesterday, or not necessarily yesterday, the other day I spoke to him. And it's a pity he's not here, but on behalf of Salka. And he was saying to us, on the matter of the, to me when we spoke, he was saying that on the matter of tariffs, they believe that Salka will not compromise because that tariff they can't afford. It's a pity he's not here. I'm sure he would have said so. I still believe, Chair, that we must implore on the department, Salga and Cox, that to meet and mitigate our view that this year's tariffs must take into cognizance the existence of COVID-19, which is making life difficult to everybody in the world. We can't behave as if there is no COVID. Therefore, we just increase and increase on the basis of following the norm. It is not normal. Even in South Africa, it is called there is a new normal. That new normal is, one of them is the one we're talking about now. I still believe there must be a way of reviewing this thing and give us a tariff that our municipalities and users can afford. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mashego. Honorable Mvana. Honorable Mvana.
I don't have any question, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Aga.
Chairperson, I'm covered. Thank you.
Honorable
Chair.
Chairperson. I have a network problem, Chairperson. Thank you very much. Listening to the DG on the report, I think there are areas of agreement that they presented as we gave them a mandate to relook on the matter. The critical area, I don't want to go to the whole debate. The premise that the portfolio committee is raising, one, it's not about Salga municipalities' issues. It's about the end user, the communities that were giving a burden of tariffs as this government, as this department. The second dilemma is how does it happen that the minister move with tariffs outside us as a portfolio committee and agree and sign? How I wish that we can see the signature of the minister signing these tariffs. Signing these tariffs without our discussion. I am aware that the minister has been busy for the process of regulation and all those issues, the convict. But the question that I want to ask, in the process of budget adjustment, with all other stimulus funds that are given to other departments, there is nothing about tariffs. And in this process of tariffs, we discuss it before we come to where we are today. And there's been no ear from the department to help us, as if we are raising something which is out of ordinary. I don't know if perhaps, Chair, in terms of the processes of Parliament, we need the minister on this matter, because he has delegated DM, but this is a critical issue that needs the head of the department. politically. We need the minister to come and talk to us about this. Did he agree? Did he sign this issue? Because this is the second time we're discussing this matter. We understand the minister is busy with other issues or regulation and the Cape Town eviction and all those issues. But this is the crux of the matter for our people as this committee. Because if you agree on these tariffs now and we close, we are putting our people into a danger. They're going to be evicted, they're going to be undermined and be humiliated by us. By us. I have got two issues, Chair, that I want to make a proposal to you. If it is possible that these tariffs can be can be on hold in the implementation. That's my first proposal. The second one, I request that Chairperson, we need to call on the minister to attend our meeting. Even if it could be a weekend, the minister must come and attend our meeting. Because my fear is that we without undermining the DM, this thing is serious. It's a lifespan of our people, which we're going to take a decision and kill them. We'll be killing them. Because you know most the processes of government and legislation. When those people come, those sheriffs, and take them out of their houses, it should be said, it's your government. It's your government. Now, it is my sincere proposal, Chair, to you with the committee, that if let these tariffs be on hold, two, let's have a 6 days call to the minister to come and address the portfolio committee. What is this? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Sehlai. Honorable Kou.
I think my view also, I don't have much to say. Also, the department not involving the parliament members, as we are the custodian of the oversight, is not unacceptable, because if they are doing things, then they exclude the portfolio committee and then they took a final decision without us being a part. I think I will also be in support of the Nancy has just mentioned, because the issue of the tariff, I mean, our municipalities are now in financial distress. And really, for our people, affordability of the tariff increase for them to afford. Yeah, of course, we are talking about the end user, which is really will be creating a serious problem that at the end of the day, it will affect the entire country. Therefore, I think to back again and move with one voice that Water Service Act is not, it needs to be discussed thoroughly so that at the end of the day, everybody is satisfied. Because here we are not saving ourselves, but we are saving the interests of our people. As we are mentioning Batupele principles, let Batupele principles be practiced. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Rebecca, Honorable Safeni. We can hear you, Honorable Member.
Honorable Mukhlala is also in the meeting, Chairperson.
Okay. Honorable Tafeni.
Okay. I thank you, Chairperson.
Yes, ma'am.
I thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I don't want to rub a stamp here because this report is coming to rub a stamp. So I can't see the space of questions because even the minister is not taking us serious. We're supposed to hear in the meeting. So I don't have a question. I thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Mukhlala.
Thanks so much, Chairperson. Sorry, man, for coming late to the meeting. The problem is network. I've been struggling to log in this morning, and I was failing to come in the meeting. I don't know what is the problem with network in our area. Honorable Tafeni is correct. This issue of the minister who's always not in the meeting is not on. Last time when Honorable Powell talked about this thing, he was attacked. It's really not on. The minister is always not in the meeting. The issue of the funeral was something else. Yes, we understand it. There is funeral, but she's always not in the meeting. Ever since we are in this portfolio committee, how many times did the minister attend our meetings? She don't take us serious. So the question is, the issue of economic independent regulator for entire water value chain has been an issue raised by previous portfolio committees. And it is almost 10 years, and there's no movement on the issue. However, it has always been reflected in the strategic plan of the department. What is the program for water sector regulation unit been doing for the last 10 years? It seems that the National Water and Sanitation Bill and the program for is another contested issue. There should be an audit of the water sector regulation unit. And why is critical issues take so long to finalize in this committee? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mukhlala. Honorable Chair. Can now take over. Yes.
Can I have a second bite if you don't mind? It's Leon speaking.
Okay. Honorable Leon.
Chairperson, listening to all the members, I totally agree that I think what this portfolio committee needs to do now is we don't accept this report. It was dishonest of the department and the deputy minister that presented this report, the previous one. As we have heard now that some of these tariffs have already been implemented in April, they bring this report in June to us. So, I don't know what they think about this portfolio committee. So what I suggest we do, Chairperson, is we reject this report and we summons the minister to appear before the portfolio committee so that the minister herself that has accepted these tariffs can come and explain to this portfolio committee why she is dealing with matters the way she's dealing with it. It's unacceptable bringing reports to this committee that's already been implemented, and now you tell us, well, we bring this report. It's a tick box exercise, and we are not in a tick box exercise game. We have to serve the people, and it's dishonest of this department and the minister to bring this report to us when there is nothing we can do about it. So, Chairperson, I will write you a letter concerning this matter. This minister must be summoned. The minister is playing games with this department, Chairperson, and we cannot allow it. We are here to protect the interests of the people of this country, and not political parties, and not the department. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Leon. Honorable Sopasungwe.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is just one question which I want to raise. The issue of consultation, when the process was on, there were municipalities which did not attend. I find it to be very irresponsible for the municipalities not to attend, because this is a legislative imperative. It means they are neglecting their responsibility. And it's also important that we know which municipalities do not take part in the process, because how do they represent their municipalities if they are not part of these processes? The second question which I want to ask is the billing of municipalities, because I know for a fact that, we all know for a fact that business has been refusing to pay or have been taking the department to court because of wrong billing. Have that problem been resolved? Those are the two questions I wanted to ask. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Dr. Sumwa. Honorable Chair of Cocta, if you join. Secretary of Cocta, you said the chair is in the meeting.
Yes. The person, she's in the meeting. I can see she's in the meeting.
Okay. Chair?
She might have logged in, maybe she's busy somewhere else, Chairperson.
Okay. Can
How, Mashiro, how can you log in and be busy somewhere? We must take ourselves seriously.
Back to the network, Honorable Members. We know that we have a problem of network. Honorable Members, let me allow the department to respond to the question that have been asked, and will then come back to the issues that honorable members have are raising. DG?
Chairperson, let me first make this correction. We presented three options. We presented an option where we keep the tariff as it is. We presented an option where we review the tariff, we don't increase the tariff. And then we presented an option where we agree on the increase. And then we said, if there's going to be any changes, it will be informed by these three options. I was hoping that members of the portfolio committee will guide us on the option that they would prefer. And then Minister will apply her mind. In fact, Minister, I don't think that Minister is comfortable with the increases herself. I think Minister will consult members of the portfolio committee as a minister and a member of the portfolio committee, a member of parliament herself. But we have put three options on the table. And I was hoping that at the end of the meeting, the members of the portfolio committee will be able to say, Department, we think that we want option number one, which is on option number two, or clear that you don't want the option where you increase the tariff. But members of the portfolio committee can make a call as to which option they would prefer, so that the department can work on the basis of that option. How all the other issues around the financial implication are going to be dealt with, and perhaps that will be a matter that we'll have to discuss amongst ourselves and National Treasury, because whichever route we go, or whichever route we take, it will have financial implications. Whether you don't increase the tariffs, or whether the portfolio committee says, keep the rainwater tariff, or even the rainwater tariff should not be implemented. All of those decisions will have financial implications, which National Treasury will have to assist us to deal with. But Minister will apply him, and the Minister is more than willing to meet the members of the committee on this matter. In fact, I didn't want to make this point. Remember, you told us to go back and agree on how to manage these things going forward. We sat down with SALCA, we agreed with SALCA on what needs to be done, what is practically possible. We said the raw water tariff was approved in April. It is the process, unfortunately, which you passed as lawmakers. That process of approving raw water tariff is in law, that the raw water tariff is implemented on the 1st of April. And the raw water tariff is implemented before the bulk water tariff is implemented. The water boards, they have not implemented the bulk water tariff that they have asked for. The minister has applied their mind, but they have approved their budgets because by law, they have to approve their budgets on the 1st of April. So minister has to apply her mind, and please bear in mind, whichever option we take, if we take the option that there should be no increases, then it would mean that we must go back to the raw water tariff as well. But that's minister's decision. And quite frankly, even though we advise as administrators and we advise as advisors in the department, minister is independent in thinking. In fact, that's why I'm of the view that minister will be more than willing to come and communicate with members of the portfolio committee. But I thought that members of the portfolio committee will make a decision today as to which option you want and which option you would want to be implemented, so that when you meet with the minister, that decision can be communicated. But for us as technocrats, and myself as an accounting officer in particular, my job is to explain the implications of every decision that we take. My job is not necessarily to approve. My job is to explain and communicate the implication of every decision that we take. And I think we've done that. We are not deciding for you. We're giving you three options, and we're saying these are the three options. And we're telling you the implications of those three options. Whichever option that we take, there will be implications. But you have a right as members of parliament to make a decision independent of what we make as that's one part. The other part is that parliament is not rubber stamping the processes. All I was saying in my comments is that the legislation is very tight. If you read that entire process, it only says we must submit to parliament. And how I wish that we could get parliament involved in this process earlier. That's what I said in my comments. That I would prefer a situation where parliament gets involved earlier, because by the time we started discussing this matter, the raw water tariff was already approved in April, on the 1st of April. And the raw water tariff triggers everything because it influences. If you look at rainwater, just the slide that talks to rainwater, that the biggest cost driver for rainwater is the raw water tariff, then followed by labor costs, then followed by the cost of treating water. So because the law says to the water boards, your tariff must be cost reflective. It is in law. It is the MFMA, it is the PFMA. So the water boards set a cost reflective tariff. Now, if we then take a decision in parliament that that cost reflective tariff is not affordable, it will not be affordable to municipalities, it will not be affordable to communities, we want the department to change it. The department will have to change it on the basis of the options. That's why we put the options there. That whichever option that you recommend, we will have to go back, and unfortunately, minister will have to apply your mind. If minister says, I agree with parliament that that option where you are increasing the tariff must not be implemented, we will implement that decision. If minister says, we want to increase the tariff, but we want to cushion the municipalities, therefore we must go to National Treasury to cushion the municipalities, Minister, we'll make that decision. But we're not imposing our views to Parliament. We gave you three options, and obviously we do have our preferred option as a department. But Minister can still make up her mind and say, look, we're not increasing these tariffs. We're reviewing them. We would prefer the rent water tariff, or we should not make increases at all. I think that decision can be made on the basis of what Parliament wants. I don't think that your options are closed. I think you still have those options. And I think you have every right to call the minister. In fact, you have every right to call the three ministers. You have a right to call the minister who approves the tariffs. You have a right to call the minister who's responsible for approving the budget. And you have the right to call the minister of Kokta, who is responsible for the municipalities and the municipal finances, to discuss this matter. So I don't think that Parliament options are closed. They're not closed at all. But all what we're saying is that if we may change the legislation, it will give us time to tighten up the involvement of Parliament in tariff setting earlier than later, because we come to you later in the day. We present to you the processes that have been running since September last year, because this process started as early as September last year, which culminated into the setting of the raw water tariff, which was implemented in April. Water boards are already paying that raw water tariff, which was implemented in April. And now what we are saying to you is that we have these three options. Give us the option that you want, and that's the option that you communicate to the minister, and the minister must apply her mind whether that option is doable or not. So I don't think that the options are closed and the horses are bolted. I think it's up to Parliament to play its role as an oversight institution, and the minister will have to apply her mind as an executive, and the administrators will have to implement the decision that the minister has taken. That's my view. The person with an answer. My view is that Parliament can choose any of those options. One option is that there should be no increase at all. Another option is that you review these tariffs and lower them. And another option is to accept the proposed tariffs. And all of that would be presented to the minister, and the minister can apply her mind. And if that's what Parliament wants, but we will have to go back to Treasury and tell Treasury that whichever option that you take, it will need financing arrangement, unfortunately. So we can't take that decision away from you. It is your responsibility to make those calls. I think that's important. What we also need to bear in mind is that this is a very delicate balancing exercise. You are balancing a financial viability of the institutions with affordability of the tariff. That's basically what we are trying to do here. And we have to make that decision, because when we approved the tariff and concluded that process of tariff setting on the 13th of March, there was no COVID decision taken by government. The COVID decision was taken on the 26th of March. So therefore, when the raw water tariff was implemented, it was because we were at the tail end of that process. If it has to be changed, and that's what Parliament wants, we are more than willing to implement that decision, because our job is to do things administratively. Our job is to make sure that we advise. It may not necessarily be our job as administrators to make that decision. Members of Parliament, the Minister is a member of Parliament. The Portfolio Committee members, if they are of the view that the tariff should not be increased this year, and they are of the view that the only reasonable tariff that should be approved is the rent water tariff, that is the decision that minister and members of the portfolio committee can make, and ours as administrators will be to implement that decision. So we presented the options, and the only reason why we presented those three options, we wanted you to discuss them. That was the reason. Thank you very much.
Thank you, DG. Who's that?
It's me.
Okay, before you talk, Honorable Mashego, I'll give you the time to do that. I'm told the chairperson is in the meeting but has got a problem with the mic. Can I check whether
I'm started now, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much, Chair. Honorable Mashego.
Shall I come after Honorable Mashego too, Chair?
Yes.
Thank you, Chairperson. And exactly the point that DG Changane is raising, that look, we are members of parliament, and we wish to want to talk to a member of parliament in the name of the minister. Because this thing of us talking, when we talk, somebody else will assess whether we are, are we right or wrong, and then say we are wrong and just implement that which he or she thinks is right. It's exactly what we are raising. But we will want to hear from her. Yesterday, I had a view that I think indeed we really need to speak to the minister, but because she is not here, we could not speak to her. But the point we are raising, honestly speaking, if you read the report, Bab Changana, your report which you presented on the 10th of June, you say you started to have a process of consulting people in October 2019, not necessarily September, October. You were targeting the time which is legislated of the 15th of March 2020. Is that in October 2019? And you're targeting the 15th of March 2020 because that's what the legislation says. And what we are saying, Bab Changana, is that from October, November, December, January, February, till 15 March, you were consulting for purposes of the bulk water system. But in your processes of consulting, you did not see it necessary to consult members of parliament. And then you say, when you say that, you answer as you say, it was not necessary because the rule does not allow us to. Talk to you. That's what you are saying. That the norm does not allow. I'm here, Chairperson. You say then that because the regulations does not allow you to be. It's a wrong word. It is not embedded in the statute that we must consult Parliament. Therefore, we did not consult you. It was not necessarily by default that we did not consult you. We did not consult you because there is no space for us to consult you. And we are saying that's where our problem lies. Our problem lies wherein. You read the regulations to be saying to you, you can do anything on our behalf without talking to us. We think that is it does not live in South African democracy. That's why when I started earlier on, I said the authors of our constitution were taking into cognizance the fact that we are a representative democratic country and a representative democratic constitution. It is embedded in our working. That we will talk on behalf of other people and for those people. You cannot do that without implementing those particular dictates. Therefore, our dissatisfaction with this report is solely on the basis of the fact that it implores on us not to be irrelevant in the process. Ours is to complain. We cannot be elected to become. That's what we're raising as a matter of fact. The second point, Chair. We are saying, on the 10th of June, we said, we believe these tariffs must not be implemented, and therefore go and talk among the four of you, SALGA, COCTA, the department, and water boards. Bring us a revised tariffs downwards, for that matter. Now, if you say to us today, tell us whether you want us not to implement three of these options, you are being academic. We said that on the 10th of June, go and speak among the four. In that committee we're talking about, there was National Treasury. We were five in retrospect. We said, go and talk and bring us a revised tariff that will take cognizance of the COVID-19 processes, the distress of municipalities, the distress of our ratepayers. So when you say today, can you answer us? That's academic to me, because we said so on the 10th that we are saying the 6.6% of rent water. If you put 6.6% of rent water, figuratively you're saying it's going to be more. But if you take 6.6% of all other departments, it can be more. It can be more. Unless you use the rent value of the 6.6% of rent water vis-a-vis the rent value of the other thing, which not necessarily can be the case. We were then saying in our closing remark earlier on, Chairperson, that the department must go back and go and revise its tariffs downwards, and come and if it means going back to the process of us calling for a budget review of municipalities in January, let it be so. And I think the point which we must not be underscored is that even if SALGA, we have invited SALGA to come to our meeting because we thought that we want to hear their view, but we have our view. Our view is that our voters cannot be punished within this COVID-19. So we cannot be bottled to a point that, but SALGA has agreed, therefore let us know. That can't be the case. We have got a constituency to serve. Part of those is part of SALGA. So we are clear on that point. I think go back, department. Yes, let's overemphasize the point, that we really do need the minister to come and talk to us. Because now we are talking to you, you become a messenger of our problems to the minister, and it is now a second thought. She must come to the meeting, we want to talk to her. But the point on this matter now, what we said, which was seconded by everybody in the committee, these tariffs are not necessarily accepted. They are not accepted. We want you to review them downwards. And if need be, we must be in a position to call for municipalities to go for the budget review in order to help our voters not to feel the very much distress that is there. And therefore, come back to us with a reviewed downwards tariffs. The implication is that it's mutatis mutandis. It might even want to go back to even the one that has happened prior to the COVID-19, which is not possible because you said there's only 3 months left. On that one, it means you might imply that there shall be no increase in the coming financial year. You have got a very able mind to can think with that particular issue. But the point you are raising, Chairperson, on behalf of the committee is that the tariffs as put forward, they are not acceptable because they does not take into cognizance the COVID-19 process that kicks in, the distressness of the municipalities, the distressness of ourselves to the municipalities too. And therefore we need that, if need be, the municipalities should be in a position, should be allowed to call for a budget. And I have been a councillor for many years, Chairperson, I can tell you, for more than 25 years I was a councillor. There is something called budget review in municipalities. It is allowed. It is not illegal for them to can do that. And I'm sure they will be happy if we instruct them to lower the rates for purpose of their own voters, because it will even lower the debt that they have even with us. So I don't believe that there is, in answering what the DG is saying, exactly our point, we are taking the option that says do not increase. And if it's not increased, we say there are implications. The implications that you must speak to Treasury, you must speak to any other person, and therefore municipalities must be informed. And if they are informed, the final process that there shall be a budget review of municipalities to welcome that you having thought of them and lowered their tariffs. And I'm sure they will celebrate that particular process. In the final analysis, we still will want to say these things to the minister, because it must never be, an impression must not be created that we only can say this in the absence of the minister, but we only tell the DG no. Even when the minister here will say what we are saying, because it is what that which we are elected to do. We are not fighting here, we are just simply wanting to help the system where the country is in distress through COVID-19. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Mashiko, Honorable Mutani.
Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable, can you wait? Honorable Mutambi.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. I think Honorable Mashiko has just summed up what we discussed on the 10th of June. It was our considered view then that the board through the Department of Water Affairs must be given 2 weeks to come back to this joint committee to revise their water tariff application. And now what Honorable we are hearing to the DG what he said, but that was not the spirit of our meeting. And it doesn't mean that we don't know what we are supposed to do, as Honorable Mashiko is saying. But the reality here, colleagues, we cannot ignore the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic and its impact on the economy. We all know that the economy is the foundation of everything. Its disruption translates the disruption of everything. The finance minister was in parliament on the 24th of June, post our meeting on the 11th of June. And what the finance minister was doing there was reviewing the assumption of the budget he presented 6 months ago in February, because his assumption has been fundamentally distorted by the arrival of the COVID-19 pandemic and its impact on the economy. So I don't see any reason why the board, including the minister, cannot see the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. Because the reality is that there's been a disruption on the production of goods and services. And when it does that, it has taken away the income from our citizens. This means that many of our citizens are pushed below affordability threshold. Even those who will be afford to pay. But we all know that the buying power is drastically reduced. So then that's why we are saying that then the central approach for us is to look on the relationship between the economy and the COVID-19 as a national disaster using the lens of consumer affordability. The other issue that I wanted to raise, Chairperson, if it has been correct for the finance minister to review by adjusting the revenue projection downwards, so why? What makes it then the water board not to do that? Because here we are of the view that the water board should follow suit and review. Because anything that the DG now is raising, is sharing with us, is really a recipe for disaster. So why then, last week all of us were also dealing with adjustment budget of our other departments. What makes the water board not to do the same? Because we cannot really avoid the consequence of the COVID-19 pandemic, and it's here. So our message is very clear, and maybe what the DG wants to hear is we are saying we are rejecting all the water tariff applications. There's still a window period of the review for the municipality budgets, if that is the case, because we were of the view that the only appropriate one was the rainwater one. But the rest, I think, is the committee, and it's the committee, as committees of parliament, who care about the lives of our ordinary citizens. We really reject this submission. That's my input, Chairperson.
Okay. Thank you very much. Honorable Skoy, can I try to sum up the discussion
and
if I might just come in quickly, please.
Who's that?
It's Bruno Moulton,
Chair. Oh, yes, they have not answered your question. I remember now.
Yes, I'm sorry, Honorable Khurnaval. There was a question raised by Honorable Khurnaval. The question of the how you there is a the green drop and blue drop things. How are you going to bring them back and when?
If I may assist, Chairperson.
Okay.
Chairperson, yes, the reason I asked for the blue and the green drop, when was it last done and why, when was it the next one being done? It's, we must remember in the municipalities is also accountable for their contribution for the increase in rates. As soon as sewage go into the river, you must exhaust the water and it costs more to clean. And that blue drop and green drop not only states the quality of the sewage and the water, but it also states the quality of the personnel and a few other factors that take into account to see who is actually contributing to the price hike in cleaning water, and not only the water box. So that is quite important to have that information. Thank you, Jeff.
Okay. Gigi, you want to talk to that?
Chairperson? Our questions were not answered. I think majority of us questions were not answered. The DG must just come in and answer all our questions. And with regards to this thing of the tariffs, Chairperson, we are not going to approve anything, as all members have alluded in this meeting, because it is our people down there that are suffering. The COVID-19 is stressing everyone. People lost their jobs. So it's a very serious problem that everyone is facing.
Chairperson, Can you allow, Chair? You wanted to summarize, Chair. Allow the question to be answered and we move.
No, Patrick, you are out of order now. How am I out of order when I'm raising my view in this meeting? Why, when other people are talking, they are not out of order? When we talk, they are out of order.
Who is saying Honorable Mkhala is out of order?
Please, can we allow
can I be recognized as chairperson?
Honorable Mkhala, can we allow DG to respond to the questions that he has not responded to? Don't repeat what other members have said.
Chairperson, die, Chairperson. Just allow Honorable Mkhala to finish her point, Chairperson. Just be fair. Just be fair. She was still on the point. And then
Member Mkhalipi, honestly speaking, can we allow the meeting to flow?
When Honorable Mkhala is speaking, can you interject her? As a member of the committee, she has the right to speak as well.
No, she joined the meeting in the middle of the meeting and she wants to hold as a ransom when
meeting
or not?
No,
you are out of order yourself.
I'm out of the meeting.
What is compelling you to interject here?
Honorable members.
And you are doing the same.
You interject here. And it's not personal what you're doing. Are you chairing the meeting or not?
What compels you to do that? What compels you?
No. Are you chairing the meeting or not? Answer the question.
You are not the chair of this meeting.
You are not the chair.
Honorable Mkhalipi, Honorable Mashiru, please stop interjecting.
Allow Honorable Mkhalipi to finish. Allow us to speak as well. We are not going to support any tariffs. Unless us to speak, they are not speaking on our behalf. They're speaking for themselves.
Honorable Mashiru, Honorable Mukhalifi, Honorable Mushala, please respect the meeting. Honorable members, Honorable Mushala, I thought you said to me, department has not responded to your question. I'm saying to yes, I'm reminded that they've not. Before I summarize, let's allow DG to respond to all the questions that members have raised. Can you do that? Honor, DG, can you respond to the questions that have been raised by members?
Thank you very much. Chairperson, can you hear me?
Yes, Chairperson. I can hear you, DG. Yes, I can hear you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Honorable Sikwai, I fully agree with you 100%. Communities are under pressure right now. Whatever price you impose, it's going to be borne by communities. So I fully agree with you, and it's for that reason why we put all these three options on the table. What would be the best option that will protect our people? So I fully agree that we have to come up with a decision on how to protect communities. That decision is for minister to make. And to be honest, I really don't think that you are, there is a disagreement between yourselves and the minister. I have no doubt in my mind that the minister is not going to infect the increases. She doesn't want increases because she's of the view that the economy is not doing well. Communities are already struggling. They are under pressure, so I have no doubt in my mind that minister will apply her mind and we may not affect the increases, but that decision is for her to make. We've given you the three options. The executive authority responsible for this portfolio will make that decision. I think you've made your views loud and clear as to which option you prefer. So let's leave it to that discussion between yourselves and your colleague. Minister who's also a member of parliament. And then once the decision is taken, ours as administrators will be to implement that decision. So I really don't think that you are far apart from each other. I think you are at one with the minister, but we'll leave it to you and the minister to make that call. The second point about the blue drop, we've started the blue drop and green drop process. We had some challenges with the financing of this particular program. The last report was done, correct, Honorable Hunewald. It was done in 2014, but we have started it. I'm sure you have seen our APP that we have a target there on both the blue drop and green drop, how we are going to implement it going forward. So it has to help us because if you take Tswane as an example, in Tswane you have 15 wastewater treatment plants. Out of those 15 wastewater treatment plants, you only have two that are functioning optimally. The rest are causing havoc. And one of them is Royval, which is causing havoc downstream, which makes the cost of treating water even more expensive. Because if Tswane is polluting up this river and other streams, it means those who are in the business of treating water are paying more. Because if you release raw sewer into the streams, you're pushing the cost of treating water up. So this is very important. But we do take municipalities to court. I think you've seen it in one of the slides where we open up criminal charges against those municipalities that are polluting. But the good thing about blue drop and green drop is that it's more proactive and it allows us to put measures in place to assist those municipalities that are struggling. And we need to know the quality of water in our municipalities. There was a question about the 230 million rands on Amatol. Let's correct the facts. Out of the 230 million rands, we have only disbursed 70 million. The 230 was not disbursed to Amatol. It's a drought allocation. They submitted the business plan to us and we disbursed 70 million. And the minister was not happy about the processes there. So the minister instituted an investigation and that process was concluded. The CEO is on suspension. So let's allow that process to continue. Let's not preempt the outcome of that process. But the drought intervention has to continue because people do want water. We have distributed tankers and water tanks to various communities in Eastern Cape, in Butterworth. If there's any wrongdoing in that particular exercise, we will have to deal with it. We will have to waste no time but to deal with those who are involved in that particular process. Please also bear in mind that the Hawks are also investigating this particular matter. In fact, they have arranged to meet with me next week on the 7th, between the 4th or the 7th of August. So this particular exercise is being investigated both by the department. In fact, the department has concluded its investigation and it was handed over to the board and the board moved to charge the CEO. So let's allow that process to continue at Amatola Water. We will continue with service delivery because there is no reason why we should not continue with service delivery, but where there's wrongdoing, the minister is determined to deal with it. Why importing chemicals? The water boards are not importing chemicals. It's the suppliers. If you look at all of these chemicals, the majority of them are made not here in this country. They are made abroad. So those who are supplying them to the water boards, they imported them because most of these things are determined by the capital markets, the international capital markets. You can't fix them. Even the suits that we wear, the international pricing and the international capital markets determine these things. But all what we can do is to subsidize these products, is to find a way to make it easy for the cost of these products not to be passed on to the consumers. That's what we can do. Municipalities are subsidizing the chemicals because they do have access to subsidies from the National Revenue Fund. Municipalities are subsidizing their processes because they have access to grants. Water boards are not subsidizing the chemicals because they don't have access to subsidies. So we have to find a better way of subsidizing these input costs so that we can protect our people. Minister is very determined that we can't pretend as if there's no COVID. She made that point very clear in human settlements, top management, and she made it very clear to the advisors there, and she made it very clear even to water and sanitation that we can't pretend as if the economy is not doing well, and we can't pretend as if COVID is not doing well. So therefore, we have to come up with means and ways to protect our people and protect our institutions. And that's why I'm saying I am very convinced and I'm very determined that you will find each other when you meet with Minister, because she is not dogmatic about these things. There's a question about the, which was raised about the PFMA and the MFMA, reviewing them. We have agreed, I think it's in the slides already, one of the slides, where we said we need to review that section 42, we have to review it. There are a lot of things that we need to review in the PFMA, in the MFMA, in the Water Services Act. There's a lot of work that needs to be reviewed. In fact, the Water Services Act, some of the clauses there are outdated. Dr. Mashego, I fully agree with you 100%. Parliament has to be consulted, and it has to be consulted earlier. In fact, it is in our interest to consult Parliament early, you know, even if it's not legislated in the processes, because these processes are legislated. It's in our interest to consult Parliament early so that Parliament get a sense of what's coming to them. Parliament is not rubber stamping. It is an approving authority. This thing comes to Parliament for final approval. So the summit of the entire process end up in Parliament. So it is in our interest that we take Parliament into confidence early so that they get a sense of what is going to come, so that when you have to make an approval, at least you know what you will be approving and you know what will be coming. So I don't think that Parliament is rubber stamping. To the contrary, Parliament can reject the tariff. I think you have all the powers to reject the tariff, which is exactly what you are doing right now. And I think it's within your power to make that decision. And then the minister has to go to the drawing board and consult with you so that we can all agree as to what it will be the reasonable tariff. So we put these three options here on the table for exactly for that reason, so that you can debate them. And then tell us, DG, we hear you and your team and with the deputy minister, but we think that there should be no tariff increase, which is exactly what you are saying. So we go back to the drawing board and you will meet with the minister, and the minister will then give an instruction to the administrators for the administrators to execute exactly what Parliament wants, because you represent the people. You're not just lawmakers. You're also representing various constituencies. So the final decision, I would assume, will come from you and the minister. I don't know if there's a question that I've left out to say. If there is, please remind me. It is not given to respond to it. And if my colleagues have picked up a question that I haven't answered, please come in and respond to that question.
Chairperson,
yes.
Chairperson, I think
he
has not yet responded to my question.
Sinzani is responding, Honorable Mkhala. Let's listen to Sinzani. If he's not responding to your question, we will come back. Sinzani?
Yes, Chairperson, I'm here. I'm sorry, Chairperson, I must have missed. Which question am I responding to?
Honorable Mkhala has asked questions. I thought the DG said you're going to ask assist in response to the question that they've not answered.
She was okay. Not noting.
The few that I have to add on what DG has said with the PFMA and MFMA, I think it's going to be important for this portfolio committee to know that there is not our legislation to review. And from our internal processes, we have asked the National Treasury a couple of times to consider the review, and they were not willing. Maybe that discussion needs to be held on a different level. And with the billing issues, the department has been working hard in trying to resolve the incorrect billing that has been happening from the raw water side. And some progress has been made. It's just that some of the challenges that are outstanding still need to be fixed up. So, and those are treated on a case-by-case matter currently, because the overall system has been sorted out as far as I know. I think those were the two that I can add on.
The third one is that the independent regulator has been in the system for past 10 years. Even the previous committee has interacted with that. Why it was not implemented, the department was not moving on it. It seems that there is a problem with that section, with the section that's supposed to have implemented it. Why? And you can respond to that.
Can I respond to that question, Chairperson?
Yes.
Instead of Suzanne.
Yeah.
The one on the independent regulator.
Yes.
Thank you, Chair. We've taken a decision that we're going ahead with that process as quickly as possible. We can start the process. The minister has done this before, where she has established an institution by incubating it first. For instance, the Human Settlements Minister appointed the Human Settlements Ombuds long before the institution is established. And I think we can do the same. We can create an incubation arrangement for eminent people that can be recommended by members of parliament, by SALCA, by Treasury to start working on the regulatory aspect of our business. And they can start that process and report to the minister so that we don't become a player and a referee at the same time. I think part of the problem with this particular matter is that there's been a lot of ideological discussions behind it. Ideological discussions by Labour, because Labour was not comfortable with that particular view that we must have an independent regulator. And they think that this is a first step towards privatizing water. So Labour unions were not very much comfortable with this thing. And some of the ministers who were here before decided to put it on hold. The administrators in the department, they have done their work and they have done the business cases and they have made their recommendation. But remember, the decision is a political decision and there's been a lot of changes in this organization at an executive authority level. So I think the previous minister has delayed the process, but this minister has applied their mind on this issue. She has asked the advisors to put proposals on the table on how best we can expedite the process. We have made a recommendation that it needs to be incubated, because if you incubate it, it means you don't have to wait until the legislation is passed for the work to be done. You can get eminent people in the sector who understand the business of regulation, even from other sectors, you can get them in and ask them to do their work, bring specialists, economists, and regulate the sector, and so that the department does not become a referee and a player on this matter. Because remember, we issue the raw water tariff as a department so that we can finance all those big projects. But at the same time, we approve the bulk water tariff, which renders us to be a referee and a player. So if we can get, maybe now, as a stopgap measure, a panel of people who can report directly to the minister and supported administratively by the department, but they are independent in what they do, until we have an institution in place. And that's what we have recommended. And this is what we are likely to discuss in the summit that minister has called. Minister has called the summit to discuss the institutional arrangement in the sector and also to discuss some of the big projects in the sector. So this is an item that is receiving ministers' attention. Unfortunately, myself as minister, we cannot account for the delays, but I think some of the changes at ministerial level have caused the delays because the team have done their work a long time ago. As early as 2016, we had proposals on what needs to be done here. And I think we are more determined right now to pay attention to this issue and to take the unions on board. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chief. I think what we are saying as two committees, DG, we have listened to your presentation. Unfortunately, the presentation has not talked to what we have indicated previously. One is that when you approve the tariffs in April for raw water and subsequent interaction with the boards and municipalities, there was no COVID. Now that we are interacting with these issues and there is COVID, we are saying the government elected by the people should join the country in protecting our people by making sure that we revise this tariff, because they would have already, our people have been affected by this COVID, that they have lost their jobs, some that those that are going to pay, the budget is overstretched. Therefore, any increment is not going to do good to our people. It's going to contribute to the stress, and with therefore saying these tariffs need to be revised downwards, but follow the process of government where you'd have the adjustment budget, because that's how you do it in terms of the law, DG. And we agree, we are saying the issue of independent regulator is more importantly now, and it should be down now, and all legislation need to be revised, should be done as soon as possible, so that we are done with the independent regulator, so to allow the process to be more participatory and independently. So, and as you are saying that you should revise the tariffs downward, we are saying this even to SALGA, because they are in this meeting, that our people must be given leave because of the COVID, which all of us who have not expected it, it came into our lives, and therefore our response should be that we protect our people. As we are saying, department must go and do that. We should then, your SALGA must not actually go and increase their bills as they implemented their budget. We know that all the budget has been passed using the old tariffs. So we are saying that that should be taken care of, and it will be good that we would want to engage with the minister. DG will write the letter to the minister that members of the portfolio committee, they are not happy with we're discussing issues that affect directly, but has not actually availed herself for this meeting. We know that it's busy, and the meeting of Portfolio Committee on Water and Sanitation meets on Tuesdays, taking cognizance that meetings of cabinets are Wednesdays. And we said that we should then prioritize these committees so that we don't have issues that needs to be processed in delay, because we are supposed to wait for the decision to be taken by the minister. With that summary, I'm going to hand it over to the chair of COCTA for her to finalize and close the meeting. Honorable Mutambi.
Chairperson Semenya.
Honorable Mutala, Honorable Mutambi will take you. I'm handing over to her.
Okay.
Honorable Mutambi.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable Mutala, over to you.
Oh, thanks so much, Chair. I just want to follow up. It seems like the institutional governance and oversight by the National Department of Water and Sanitation is so weak. The lockdown started in March this year, and we're already in an economic crisis. Why Water Sector Regulation Unit not proactive in assessing risk during COVID-19 in tariff determination setting and impact on end users? They should have alerted the Department of Water and Sanitation, not to wait until the Parliament see a crisis. That is the only time they see crisis as well. So I'm saying,
Mutala,
why
your energy is misdirected. You are always out of order. I don't know why.
You're out of order, man. When I speak.
No, you why? Are really out of order. The DG has explained the deadline of March, and there was no COVID. Should they ban it? You are out of order.
You are out of order.
No. 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 You are out of order. No, now you are expecting them to answer a question that is totally out of question.
You can't even think of asking that question.
So why are you responding to for the department? Are you the department now? Honorable, why are you always defending the department?
Honorable Mkala.
Thank you.
Mkala, can you finish up what you wanted to say so that we can conclude the meeting? You were still on the floor.
I'm done. Honorable,
you are done.
But that says he's out of order. I think he must withdraw. Of being out of order in this meeting.
Okay, colleagues. Under the circumstances, we need to come to the end of this meeting. And then I think that issue of COVID, as one said earlier, is here. It has confronted us. And then whatever we do, we need to respond to it. And it is also our expectation that the water boards must do the same. I said earlier that all other departments and entities have then readjusted their budget in response to the pandemic. So when we adjourned in June 10, it was in relation to that view that also the department and the water boards will do the same. Because the reality is that the disaster is here and everybody is affected. And I think we are closing with this decision that we are rejecting this water tariff because hence we attend the meeting on the 10th of the July. There was a clear directive from both the committees that the department and the water boards must go and revise their water tariff application. So we are closing on that note to say, as the DG has asked us what to do, we are saying that this tariff, and until they are revised, and then there's a process that will also, if you start the process now, the municipalities are also going to do the adjustment budget. And then you'll have to talk to Treasury with regard to the boards themselves. I think then also Treasury will also have to understand that they also relax the provision in terms of the timelines to allow water boards to go back. There's somebody who's speaking, who's interjecting. Can you mute their mics as you are talking to other people? So that then the water boards will be able to go back and do a downward adjustment of tariffs in response to this also COVID-19 pandemic. Because this is what everybody's doing. I think it's on that line note that we need to close this meeting, DG and the team and the board members that are here from the various water boards in the country and the colleagues to say we want to thank you for your attendance. And there is another issue that I also wanted to comment. I think it was raised by Honorable Sikloai on these processes of the regulator, the period term. DG, we understand that politicians come and go, but the department is an institution. Can you then maybe come in due course and brief us on the steps that you have taken towards the establishment of the a regulator, as you are saying, to give us a background and presentation? I believe it's your responsibility as administrator, because I could believe there are people since this political principle have been coming and going, the administrators in that section have been there. So I think then let's show us your state of readiness towards the establishment of water boards. We love that maybe a joint meeting in due course. That will also be a joint meeting wherein we'll be getting the progress report. How far have yourself as a department and the water boards, and then has also then gone in revising this water tariff application in preparation from the adjustment budget that municipalities must pass in January. So I think one should close the meeting on that note. Thank you so much, colleagues.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Professor,
thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
When
and goodbye.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mutala. Thank you, Mutala. Thank you, Mutala. Thank you, Mutala. Thank you, Mutala.